Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, go in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to continue our series today, Dream Again, and we're going to be camped out here for many more weeks, and we're going to continue on in this passage because the story's just getting going. If you've never read this chapter before of 2 Kings, man, it's a powerful chapter, and it's one that God's used to speak to my life over the last many years about dreaming again. And so I'm excited to continue that with you. And I would encourage you, even if you miss a week, it's okay. Things might happen on a Sunday. You might miss a week. Man, you can check out the podcast that week or catch it on the live feed and just stay tuned with what's happening here. Because this story is a phenomenal story. And I believe it's going to speak to you today in a powerful way as we continue this thought of dream again. I believe this idea of dream again, once it's not just a series. It's not just something we're talking about. It's not just a great principle. I believe it's something that God is calling Canvas Church to begin to do. I believe God is calling us as a community to dream some really big dreams for his kingdom. And listen to me now. Hopefully you've caught this over the last couple weekends. We're not just talking about pipe dreams. We're not just talking about, hey, I want this to happen and I want to do this. And you just, you know, like that's going to happen. Now, I'm talking about connecting with the presence of God and connecting with the word of God and connecting with a community called the church and going after some things that he's speaking to us. Are you with me this morning? And so we're talking about dreaming again as God wants us to open up our hearts. He wants to open up our spirits and our eyes and our minds to the things that he is saying are possible and that we would latch on to those things and we would begin to not only dream big dreams, but we begin to obtain those dreams. And, you know, dreaming was not a difficult thing when you were younger. But it seems like as we get older in life, dreaming of big things seems to become harder and harder. But I mean, when we're little, man, we would dream about everything and anything, right? We would watch a movie. Come on, who's with me? And we would go out after that movie with our friends and we'd act that thing out. Come on, am I the only one that did that when they were younger? You know, and you'd fight over who you're going to be? Or how about this? And do I have any athletes out there? You love sports. Are there any sports fans in Canvas Church? There are three of you. We need to pray for a revival. I love sports, man. We would watch Super Bowl, and you know what me and my brother would do? We would go throw on some helmets and find a football. We would reenact that whole entire Super Bowl. True story. Because dreaming wasn't difficult when you're younger. We'd dream about what we would want to become and who we would be and who we would marry one day and all of those things. But as we get older, we soon discover that, you know what? Life has a way of beating the dreams out of us, right? Things happen. Circumstance happen. And here's the thing that happens if we're not careful. Because enough things happen where all of a sudden that dream gets beat out of us and that dream gets beat out of us and that dream didn't happen, that what happens is we stop dreaming. And so now we don't have any dreams. And I believe that's the place the enemy wants us to be. But I believe that in 2018, God is calling us as a church to dream again. Are you with me this morning? And so I want to take you to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 8. And I want to read you this portion of scripture that has been something that has spoken to me time and time again on this idea of dreaming again and going after the things that God says we can have. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Then she said to her husband, "I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God." Now, I just want to pause there because when she makes this statement, it's not just her making a statement like maybe some of you would make of me. You're a great pastor. You're a great man of God. Her statement is so much more loaded than that. Because here I stand today, and I'm no different than any of you. I just have a different job, right? I'm on the same path that you're on. Man, I'm pursuing Jesus the best way I know how. And so when she makes this statement, though, it's not just saying, like, hey, that's you're a good pastor. What she's saying, you got to understand this, is in those times, the prophet wasn't just one that got a message from God and delivered it to the people, but he actually had a mantle on his life to carry the presence of God wherever he went. And so when this woman recognizes that this is a holy man of God, what she's saying is the presence of God is on him. And whenever he enters our house, I sense the presence of God. And so when she makes this statement, this is a holy man of God, what she's saying is, man, the presence of God is with this individual. verse 10. So she says, let's make an upper chamber, a small room, and let's put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp there for him. So whenever he comes by, he can stay there. In other words, like the regular visiting of the presence of God is good, but I want the presence of God to stay. So I'm going to do something, and she builds something, and there he is. Verse 11, and one day he came there and stopped and went to the room upstairs to lie down. He ordered his attendant Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and she stood before him. Then he said to Gehazi, say to her, look, you've gone to all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I'm living among my own people. In other words, I'm fine. So he asked Gehazi, then what should be done for her? And Gehazi answered, now notice what he says. This is what he picks up about this woman. Well, she has no son, and her husband is old. And now you got to understand this statement as well. By him making this statement, he is observing what she does not have, and yet what she does not have is what every woman of that time wants. It's not just enough to have a child. In those days, every woman wanted a son. And the reason a woman of that time wanted a son is so that son could carry on the family business and the family heritage and the family lineage, that he could carry that on, because now if the husband's gone and you have a son, then the mom or the woman would have a protector and a provider. And so by Gehazi making this statement, he recognizes something that would be near to her and that would be dear to her, but yet she hasn't been able to have it. Are you with me this morning? This is something she longed for. This is something she dreamed of, but yet she's unable to have this dream. Gehazi answered, well, she has no son, her husband's old. In other words, it's probably not going to happen. Verse 15, call her, Elisha said. So Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, at this time next year, you will have a son in your arms. At this time next year, the very thing that you have not been able to have, the very thing that you've been longing for, the very dream that is dead. Listen to me, Shunammite woman, it's time to dream again. And she responds, and she says, no, my Lord, man of God, do not deceive your servant. In other words, he's touching on an area, something she did want, something that's dead, something she needs to begin to dream again. Verse 17, the woman conceived and gave birth to a son at the same time the following year as Elisha had promised her. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that, Lord, you would speak to every single one of us in here, that, God, you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would instruct us, and that we would walk out of here understanding the plan that you have for our life in a greater way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I just recently became the girls' basketball coach at my daughter's middle school. And, yeah, oh, great. You haven't seen our team. And it was one of those things where you kind of get roped. Any parents in here ever coached their kids before? No? All right. Well, it's a great experience. You should try it. And I had coached them previously when they were real young. And my daughter, she's a basketball fanatic. Matter of fact, she's at a game right now. It started 19 minutes ago, and she's the starting point guard. Lord, would you help her right now to dominate in Jesus' mighty name? Amen. So she's at her game. She came to the first service because she puts God first, and she keeps Sunday, man, what it is. And she came to the first service. She's over there. And last year when she was in seventh grade, she went to the athletic director and said, we need to have a girls' basketball team. He said, yes, we do. He said, why don't you go see how many girls you can round up? And so, you know, he's a seventh grader going around trying to round up girls, and it just didn't come about. But that athletic director remembered that. So over the summer, he encouraged Faith. He said, hey, try to get some girls. And so my daughter at 12 years old went through and started just getting as many girls as she could. And she ended up getting 11 other girls. Come on, somebody. So there are 12 girls. And so she was so excited. She came home and she was like, Dad, we have a basketball team. And I'm like, awesome. She goes, Dad, we need a coach. I'm looking around for her mother. I'm like, where's your coach at? Now, how are you going to say no to that, right? And so I said, yes. And so me and another dad, so like there's my daughter who plays club ball, and there's one other girl that plays club ball. But after that, it's like learning like what a ball is. Seriously, I kid you not. It's like we brought it in the first day. We're like, this is a basketball, and you do this, not this, right? I remember about the very first practice, I was working with the girls, and there was this one girl, she's so cute, and she's learning to dribble and stuff, and she was like, Coach, she's like, I'm so excited. I'm like, awesome. She's like, I've never played basketball before. And I'm like, that's great. And she goes, yeah. She's like, I've never played a sport in my life before, actually. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help us. And so I got all these girls, and I'm doing the best I can. And I figure, well, if Faith and this other club player, if nothing else, at least they can play a two-man game and get some points on the board, right? But we quickly begin to work with them and work on what it is to dribble, what it is to pass. And towards the end of the second practice, we're like, okay, we have a game coming up. God help us. We need to put in some plays. And so we put in these plays, and we start working these plays, an inbound play, an offense, and a defense, and we're putting all this stuff in. And by the end of practice, like, it is clicking, and I'm like, man, I'm a good coach. I'm like, these girls are catching it, man. Like, this is cool, you know? And this was like, I don't know, like on Wednesday night it was. And so we got everything, we bring it in, we cheer, like, okay, first game's 1 o'clock Friday. And they're like, yeah. We show up for the game, and we kind of walk through the offense and defense again. They got it. Man, that jump ball, boom, and they go in, and I'm like, what are they doing? I'm like, what's happening right now? Like, every time down, they are not running the play. They are, like, running around frantic, like they have no idea what's happening. And I'm like, my assistant coach isn't very good, all right? I'm like, what's happening right now? So I call a timeout, and I'm like, girls, like, do you remember the play? And they're like, yeah. Like, why are we not doing it? And they're like, Coach, it's so much different when you have defenders on you. It didn't look this way when we did it in practice. And, you know, I realized something at that moment. What sounds really good in theory doesn't always happen in action. Well, what sounds really good when you're talking about it and in theory, when it comes to application and it comes to action, it doesn't always look the same. This woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she is confronted with an idea. She is confronted with what we see later in verse 17 is a promise. The Bible says she comes up and she stands in the doorway. And we talked about it last weekend, man. Last weekend was fun as we celebrated 5 years, wasn't it? 5 years as Canvas Church. And we talked about what do you do when you are standing in the doorway? When you have the word of God coming at you and you have the promise of God that this time next year, this is going to happen. And there she is, and she's confronted with an idea. But ideas and theories and promises sound really good. But all of a sudden, when it comes time to walk it out in practicality and action, it can look vastly different. Theory. And there's so many things that sound good on a Sunday morning, don't they? It's gonna be okay. And everybody's up. It's gonna be all right. I saw you guys. You're starting to get into it. We did that song one more time. You'd be like, right? And then Monday morning shows up and you're like, what the bleep happened? Right? And you realize it ain't okay. It ain't all right. And what sounded so good on Sunday morning, when all of a sudden it comes time to walk it out, you're like, this is not the way we talked about it in practice. This is not the way we talked about it on Sunday. This looks nothing like that. Are you with me? It looks completely different. And here she is. She's standing in the door. And listen to what he says. She's been unable to have a child. She has been absolutely fruitless. She's been barren. And the word of the Lord comes to her and says, you're going to have a boy. And now she's confronted. She has to go back and do the same thing she's always done, yet expecting a different result. It's great theory. It's a great idea. But what happens now when you got to begin to go do something with it? And I want to begin to help us this morning. I want to begin to help us this morning in the idea of dreaming again. And I believe there's just a couple of things that as we're in this series, that if we begin to do these things, that we'll not only begin to dream big dreams again for the kingdom of God and corporately as a community, but we'll actually begin to see these things come to pass. This woman had to make a decision as she's standing in the doorway. Am I going to do something with that word? Because here's the thing you got to understand, that when we talk about these things on Sunday morning, they mean nothing unless we walk them out when we leave. And here that promise comes, but there's something she has to do with the promise. Let me just give you two thoughts this morning that I believe will help us as we begin to dream again. The first one is this: we need to add focus to our faith. We need to add focus to our faith. I mean, there's so many times when, I mean, it's like, you know, you hear a message on Sunday, and once again, it sounds so good, and you feel so encouraged, and you feel so edified and so built up until Monday morning. But I want you to know something. What we do on Sunday morning is not just to edify. It's not just encourage. It is those things, but it is to give you biblical truths that we can apply to our life. And as long as we begin to focus on them, they begin to be realized in our life. Are you with me this morning? They're tools, and we begin to focus on them. And she had to begin to focus on what was spoken, the promise. And we need to focus on what God is speaking to us. It's not just enough to show up on a Sunday and be like, cool, good message, I'm going to have that. Now, what are you doing with it? What are you focusing on the rest of the week? What would happen if we come together collectively and we sit and we hear the message and we hear the word of God, and man, God's speaking to us, and it's so good that we then would meditate on that throughout the week, and we would show up at our small group and we would dive into that and talk about it, and maybe we'd actually begin to realize the things that God is speaking to us. We've got to add focus. Listen to Proverbs 29:18 in the Message. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. If people can't see, that's focus. If we have nothing to focus on, if we're not focusing on what God's saying, if we don't see it, listen to what the scripture says. We stumble all over ourselves. And listen, you got to hear this, because you can, and this happens in church all the time. We can come up with some really creative and catchy messages, but that is not our goal. Our goal is to give you the God said. And so when you can focus on that and you can see what God is saying, you won't stumble all over yourself. You ever spent the night at somebody's house before and it's the first time spending the night there, or you're in a hotel or something like that and you need to use the restroom in the middle of the night and you can't find the light switch? It's horrible. You can't find the light switch, so you just, I know the bathroom's that direction, so you start walking and all of a sudden you walk into the coffee table and hit your shin. Well, maybe for some of you, it's your knee. I'm tall. I hit my shin, all right? All right? You hit it, and you're like, ow, that hurt. You know, that's how some of us are walking through our spiritual journey. Are you with me this morning? Because we're not focused on what God is saying. But look what happens when we bring focus to what he's saying. We don't stop. Here's what happens. The Bible says when we attend to what he reveals, we can see it, we're focused on it. We are most blessed. How important is focus? Check this out. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks, or a woman, as a man thinks, that's his focus, in his heart, so is he. Well, what are you really focused on? What's your mind set on? Is it set on the promises of God? Listen, it's not just enough to walk in and be like, oh, it's a great message, and leave. No, we gotta put that as our focus. We gotta set our mind on it. We gotta say, man, this is it. And as we begin to think, the Bible says it. As a man begins to think in his heart, as he begins to get that as his focus, so is he. It's going to come about. And that's why scripture tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are you focused on? Are you focused on the promise of God? Listen, for a year, she had to focus on that promise. As the child is growing inside of her, I'm sure the thoughts of, is this going to come to fruition? Is the baby going to come full term? But she kept focusing on the promise. Some of us just need to take our focus off of these distractions and these other things and just get focused on what God is speaking to us, and I believe it'll begin to come to pass. How important is focus? Listen to Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell or think on these things. What are you putting in front of you? Are you putting what God's speaking in front of you? I learned so much from having kids and watching them grow up. My daughter, recently, she got frustrated with her iPhone. And I know all the Android users are like, of course she did. It's an iPhone. And here's why, is because what happens is I'll get a new phone, and my wife will get my hand-me-down, and then the girls will get her hand-me-down, and then the youngest one gets Kara's hand-me-down. So my youngest is like on the original iPhone, right? Like, Dad, it's not working, right? So my oldest, actually, she's getting frustrated with the phone. And then like an hour later, she came back. She goes, I know what I'm doing. I'm like, what? She goes, I'm buying myself an iPhone. I'm like, you are? She goes, yep. I'm like, do you know how much they are? She's like, nope. When I told her, and she's like, I'm buying one. I was like, how are you going to do that? Boom, she had a whole game plan. I kid you not. And then she had a calendar, and at the top it said, new iPhone. And I was like, that's brilliant. What if we did that with the promises of God? What if we just did that with the promises of God? I mean, there are so many promises in God's word. If we just focus on them, I believe that God is going to bring them to pass. That's why small groups are so important. They help us focus. You know, here's the thing. You want to have a healthy marriage? Listen, counseling is great. But I believe one of the greatest ways to have a healthy marriage, and this is for single people too, single people wanting to get married, you want to have a healthy marriage one day, get around people that have healthy marriages and watch them. You want to have a healthy marriage? Do that. You want your kids to serve God one day? Get around parents whose kids are serving God and watch how they train up a child the way they should go. When they get older, they won't depart from it. I mean, here's the thing. We do this almost every. I talk to business people all the time, and guess what they have? They have a mentor. They're reading these books. They're doing this stuff. What are they doing? They're making it their focus. What if we did that in church? That's the power of a small group. Then get in one and begin to focus on what God is speaking to you. Are you with me this morning? But see, it's not just enough to focus. I believe there's something else we need to add to our faith, and that is feet. Feet. Pastor, what do you mean? I literally mean action. I literally mean doing something with what God has said. What did he say? What is he speaking to you? You might be sitting here today, I don't know what he's speaking. I don't really hear the voice of God. He's speaking to you right now. He's saying it's time to dream again. Really? Yeah. You, it's time to dream again. Well, how am I going to see that come to pass? Put some focus to it and put some feet to it. I can't just have focus. I need to have feet. What am I doing with what I see? What am I doing with my focus? Well, brother, I just believe it's going to come to pass. And that's Christian language. Well, sister, I just believe it's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen as soon as you get off your and you begin to go after it. That's the truth. I mean, you just sit around like, it's just going to happen. No, it's not. Listen to me. I already mentioned once, but the promises of God, yes, in him, they're yes and amen. But listen to me, the things that God speaks, they are not just guarantees. They are promises, or they are potentials that you and I can begin to go after. If God says we can have it, we can have it, yes. But we need to begin to put some feet to it and begin to go after it. And there's a big difference between theory and action. And I believe this one right here is where so many of us get stopped in our spiritual journey, because we just want everything to happen for us. We want everything to happen to us. We just want to believe it and achieve it and receive it. Oh, you do? Okay, then you got to put some feet to it. You got to get active. Now, here's the problem. It's like an epidemic in our society. I don't remember the exact statistic. I can look it up again later. But it's like one in every seven millennials thinks they're going to be world famous. Now, if I just ask you to raise your hand if you're a millennial, I mean, so many hands will go up. Let's just say 30 of them went up. That means like five or four of you believe you're going to be world famous. I don't want to crush your dream. But I just did. That's not going to happen. And seriously, they think that I'm just going to throw this on YouTube and because all we see is it's the people it's happening for. That's it. And so we think that's going to be us. We're just going to sit around and wait for our opportunity somewhere over the rainbow. I don't know why I've been singing in service lately. I think that's just my worship moment. What'd you say? You said you want me to lead worship next week? Anybody second that? Okay. As long as we're singing that song, we'll be okay. Everybody stand to your feet somewhere. Come on, lift your hands right now to heaven. Over the rainbow. Did you just put some effects on my voice? That was awesome. That's the only way it sounds good, right? Jerk. I want my pure raw talent to come out, Ben. I'm going to be famous someday. Holy Spirit, come back. All right. You got to put feet to it. You got to put some action to it. She had to decide, am I going to really believe that? Am I going to really obtain that? If I'm going to, I have to go back and do something with it. But honestly, guys, I feel like this happens to so many of us on the spiritual journey. It's as we come every Sunday, and it's as if we are standing in the doorway like the woman. And here I am, like bringing the message and saying, guys, this is possible. This can happen. Man, God is for you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? And you walk out, but there's no action. And we stay standing in the doorway. I don't want us to stay standing in the doorway as a church. I want us to focus in, and I want us to go after with everything that's within us so that we can lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. Because I'm telling you right now, as great as your life is, it gets better and better and better and better, because when you put God first, life is at its best. And we just need to go after it. We need to put some feet to it. But yet there's so many times we sit here and we hear it, but we do nothing with it. Listen, you got to hear this verse, and I'm going to bring it to a close. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? James 1:22, listen to this verse. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Be doers of the word, not just hear it. Don't just come on Sunday and hear it, but walk out doing it. If you don't do that, listen to what the scripture says. You're deceiving yourself. You just said, let me tell you something. You just wasted an hour and 15 minutes of your life. Did pastor just say that? Did he just tell me not to come to church? No. What I'm saying is be the church. Hear the word of God and go out and perform and do the word of God. Listen to what this word doer means. It's the word, I don't know how to say it. I couldn't say it in the first service either. Poetase. Sounds good to me. It's where we get the word poet. Listen to what it means. It means a maker, a producer, an author, or a performer. The word picture, the imagery is this. It's as if I've been given a script, and now I'm on stage, and I'm acting it out. That's what the imagery is. And so when the Bible says, hey, go be a doer, not just a hearer, it's saying, hey, here's the script for your life. Here's the possibilities. Here's the potential. Here's what you can have. Here's what you can be. Here's what you can do. But we have to grab hold of the script, and we have to get on the stage of our life, and we have to begin to walk this thing out. If we don't, we are just deceiving ourselves. We are just literally sitting in a rehearsal over and over and over again. But he's saying, no, child, son, daughter, pick up the script and begin to walk this thing out and begin to go after the incredible plan that I have for your life. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer, be a producer, be a maker, be an author, be a performer of the word of God. And yet we sit here and we can hear the message, and we can stand in the doorway, and we can hear Pastor Brandon standing here on a Sunday saying, you can be financially prosperous. And you stand in the doorway and you hear it. And here's how you can do it. You know, the Bible gives a very clear path for financial prosperity. It's so crystal clear. Let me just give you a couple of verses. The plan, it's real easy. Romans 13:8. Do not owe anyone anything. Be a debtor to no man. I like the next part, though. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. Okay, outside of love, you owe them that. But outside of that, don't owe them anything. Be a debtor to no one. That's like part of God's financial plan for our life as believers. Let me read you the next one. Here's a good part. You do these two things, and you'll be financially prosperous. Malachi 3, 8 and 10. Bring all the tithe. That's the first 10%. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Test me now in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven over your life and pour out great blessings that you won't even be able to contain it. And every Sunday we stand in the doorway and we hear that. And it sounds so good in theory, but in application, so hard to walk out, isn't it? But what if we just did it? What if we just did it? Experience the financial freedom. Now listen to me. You can work really hard, and you can have a really good job, and you can get a second job, and you can get a bank account, and you can become very rich. I'm not talking about rich. I'm talking about prosperity. There is a big difference between being rich and being prosperous. Rich is what you have in the bank account. Prosperity is what's in your heart. That's why the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It's not about the number that's in the bank. It's about what I'm doing. It's about my perspective. It's about, man, this is what God has given me, and I'm a steward over this thing. And prosperity is this. Prosperity is how you having enough to take care of your family and all of your needs and some to give away and bless other people. And every single person sitting in these chairs today can be financially prosperous if you apply these simple principles. But yet we stand in the doorway because we don't put feet to it. What about marriage? Marriage, man, that's a big topic everywhere you go and should be, especially in church. Why? Because marriage, it's the image that Jesus uses of himself and the church. That's a great picture. And yet so many people struggle in their marriage, and here's why. Because they stand in the doorway and they hear the word of God, and they hear what their marriage can be and should be and what to do to get there, but they stay there because they never put action to it. Listen to a plan. This is a great verse. Here's your plan for marriage. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. And if you've ever been to a wedding, ever heard a series on marriage, you've heard this before. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. And all the men are like, yeah. I remember doing a wedding one time, and I had a woman come up to me afterwards like, hey, I didn't like that. And I'm like, you didn't like what? She's like, that verse you read. And I'm like, don't get mad at me. I just read it. I didn't write it. I'm just the pizza delivery boy. Come on, somebody. If you don't like the pizza, take it up with the chef. What didn't you like about it? I just don't think that's the way it should be. Well, I'm sorry. Did you hear the rest of it? And she's like, the rest of what? And I'm like, the verse. She's like, no. She was so focused in on that part, her part, submit to my husband. And she was married. Obviously not happily, but she was married. Like, we do marriage counseling too, not just weddings. And it's like, did you hear the rest of it? He's like, no, well, what's the rest of it? Let's go back. Let's read it. Here it is. Here's the rest of it. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Let me interpret that for you. Husbands, die just as Christ died. She was like, that's in there? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I like that part. I'm like, oh, yeah, watch out for you. I'm going to warn your husband. Yeah, he ended up missing next week. But, there it is. There's the model. And we can hear that. And it's so easy. Because you know what? It's really easy for a woman to submit to a man who is continually dying for his wife. And it's really easy for a man to die for his wife when she's continually submitting to her husband. And so I have to ask the women sometimes, which one do you want? Do you want to die or you want to submit? Submit. Okay, good. Guys, keep dying. Keep laying down your life. And can I just tell you something? And here's the thing. People are like, Pastor Ben, you make marriage look easy. I was like, well, it is easy for my wife when she's married to a guy like me. I don't know where these things come from. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, marriage, it has ups and downs. It has rocky moments. But can I be honest with you? When you apply the principles of God's word, marriage is easy. It is easy. It just means, guys, there's some things that you're not going to do that you want to do. Why? Because you're dying to yourself. Stop looking at other women. You're married to her. Die to that. But it's really hard. Yeah, then gouge your eyes out. It's biblical. Honestly, when you apply biblical, come on, are you with me this morning? But yeah, we stand, and here's the thing, we stand at the door shoveling out thousands of dollars for counseling. And listen to me, I'm not against counseling. I was a psychology major. But we shell out thousands of dollars on that when all we have to do is take the word of God and listen to it and begin to put feet to it and begin to go after it, and we will see the glorious thing that God has for us. But we have got to begin to add to our faith some focus and some feet. And church, I believe that this is the year for Canvas Church. I believe this is the year for you, where we don't just stay at the doorway thinking about what could be or what might be, but we lay hold of the word of God and we begin to put some focus on it and we begin to put some feet to it and we begin to grab hold of the amazing life that God has for us. Lord, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for these moments where we can surround ourselves around the text and begin to learn and begin to grow and begin to further our life in this journey. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray for every person. Come on, church, just stand to your feet right now. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. God, I pray that today would be the day where we start and we say we're no longer just going to stand in the doorway thinking about what could be or might be. But we're going to move forward in faith with some focus and some action. We're no longer just going to look at it as theory, but we're going to go after it. We're going to lay hold of it in Jesus' mighty name. So, Lord, I lift up every person in this place right now. God, I pray you would pull us up a little. God, for the one that is here this morning, just a little quieter for a moment. I feel like there's somebody here this morning that you're walking on the borderline of depression. You're not fully there yet, but there's signs of it, and you're heading in that direction. But I believe that right now the Holy Spirit is coming to put a stop to that. that you will not cross the line over into depression. It is time to lift up your eyes. It is time to lift up your head. Why be downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. God has this. He has you. It's not going to get worse. It's going to get better. It's time to change your confession, and it's time to change your focus, and it's time to get after it. Right now, I declare that that depressive spirit that is trying to come upon you is broken right now in Jesus' mighty name. It will not take a foothold in your life. You will not go down that path. You will not go down into that season. But right now, His hand is pulling you out and rescuing you right now. Joy is coming today. Joy in life is coming today. Joy in life is coming today. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift those up right now. Lord God, that sync with that word. And I pray that you would be the glory and the lifter up of their head in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.